Welcome to another edition of The Debate. I'm Kavit Halfway. Twin explosions near the Iranian embassy in Lebanon's capital, Beirut, has claimed dozens of lives, killing Iran's cultural attaché to Lebanon. This is the first occurrence of an embassy being targeted by terrorists in what is believed to be a spillover from the war in neighboring Syria. In this debate, we'll discuss who would benefit from this, in which, even though an Al-Qaeda offshoot has claimed responsibility, many are pointing the finger to Israel and Saudi Arabia.
A long line of vehicles reduced to mangled metal by Tuesday's powerful bomb blasts in the Lebanese capital. The explosions took place outside Iran's embassy in Beirut, which was a target of the attacks. The twin blasts killed over 20 people, including Iran's cultural attaché in Lebanon, Ibrahim Ansari.
This is a terrorist act in the true sense of the word. This is a criminal act against lives of people in this country. It's an instance of acts of terrorism which have been raging the regional countries, including Lebanon.
Following the attacks, a group which calls itself an offshoot of Al-Qaeda claimed responsibility for the bombings. But observers say they have every reason to believe that an offshoot of Al-Qaeda could not be alone in carrying out such terrorist attacks. Instead, they point a finger of blame at Saudi Arabia and its notorious spy chief, Bandar bin Sultan. Many Western analysts consider Bandar as the point man for a vast Saudi program of covert actions and conspicuous spending that they say helped overthrow Egypt's first democratically elected government and is now attempting to forge a new insurgent army in Syria. Bandar already stands accused of playing a bloody role in Iraq. The country has been hit by large numbers of terrorist attacks in recent months alone, which have killed thousands of people. Bandar's project for the Middle East has created what could be called a covert alliance between the Saudi and Israeli regimes. On the face of it, it looks that there are no peace treaties or diplomatic relations between Tel Aviv and Riyadh. But there's a saying that goes, "The enemy of my enemy is my friend." That's the case with Saudi Arabia and Israel, who both see Iran as an arch enemy, and that's why Bandar is a de facto ally of Israel against Iran. After the explosions in Beirut, Iran strongly condemned the terrorist attacks, blaming them on Israel. This, as a Hezbollah lawmaker also told Press TV, that Israel and Saudi Arabia could be the culprits behind these terrorist attacks. Moreover, there has been greater coordination between Israel and Saudi Arabia in recent months. The two have been seeking a regime change in Syria, which they believe would deal a heavy blow to Iran and the axis of resistance in the Middle East.
We can say that the people who are losing on the ground in Syria, the people that doesn't want a political solution in Syria, are behind this terrorist.
But many observers believe that the Saudi-Israeli alliance have suffered many setbacks in recent months, at least in Syria, where government forces have been making gains against insurgents backed by Riyadh and Tel Aviv.
Well, let's find out what our guest thinks about this. Let me introduce them. Press TV Newsroom Director Hamid Reza Emadi joins us here in the studios. And from Beirut, we have Jihad Marukade. He's a Middle East expert. Gentlemen, welcome. I'd like to start with you, Jihad Marukade. Any doubt that this is due to the spillover from the war in neighboring Syria?
It is due to the spillover of the war in Syria, but it is not the spillover that people had expected. It is spillover from Al-Qaeda and not from the usual fighters in Syria.
Okay, Hamid Reza Emadi, that report that we just saw pretty much used Israel and Saudi Arabia interchangeably. Are we looking at one or the other being responsible, as some fingers have pointed towards one or the other in this case?
Well, it's been 10 hours up until this moment that this program is being aired. Since the bombings in Beirut took place, and the United States, after 10 hours, reacted. We haven't seen any reaction from Israel. We haven't seen any reaction from Saudi Arabia. They haven't condemned the attack in Beirut that killed Iran's cultural attaché and a lot of civilians in Beirut. It is clearly indicative of the fact that Israel and Saudi Arabia are happy with what is going on in Lebanon right now. The fact that Lebanon is facing a crisis which is very much similar to what we saw in Syria before the crisis turned into a sort of a civil war. So Israel has a stake in that. Saudi Arabia is trying to help Israel create crisis. Both Saudi Arabia and Israel, they live on crises, creating crises in the world, creating conflicts. And when we talk about Al-Qaeda as the main culprit in an attack in Beirut, we have to bear in mind that Al-Qaeda was supported by the United States, was funded by Saudi Arabia, and Al-Qaeda has never attacked Israel. Al-Qaeda has never attacked Israeli interests in the world. So there is this link between Al-Qaeda and Israel, and Israel is supporting Al-Qaeda. Saudi Arabia is supporting Al-Qaeda. So Al-Qaeda is the hand of Israel and Saudi Arabia, and it is killing people in Lebanon today, just as it is killing people in Syria, just as it is killing people in Iraq.
General Bakari, Al-Qaeda here has taken responsibility, this being the offshoot linked. Abdullah Azzam is the name. So by default, would that mean that Saudi Arabia is therefore responsible, given the fact that it is funding these insurgents, such as the Al-Qaeda offshoots, on the ground in Syria?
This is why I started by saying it is not the insurgents funded by Saudi Arabia, it is Al-Qaeda. And I fully disagree with Mr. Imadi with regards to Al-Qaeda. He said that Al-Qaeda never hit Israel, therefore Israel is an ally of Al-Qaeda. But Al-Qaeda, and then he went on to say that the U.S. is an ally of Al-Qaeda, but Al-Qaeda did hit the U.S. on 9/11. Al-Qaeda hit Saudi Arabia. A few years ago, a whole Al-Qaeda network was arrested in Saudi Arabia. So Saudi Arabia is an enemy of Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda operates on its own. Now, I want to go on further on the issue of intelligence services of Saudi Arabia and Israel cooperating with each other. When intelligence services do such an operation, they are trying to put a political message somewhere. They don't kill people for the sake of killing people. They are trying to achieve some kind of political end. In this case, attacking the Iranian embassy in Lebanon is never going to achieve anything with regards to Iran, because Iran is never going to change its policy in Syria just because its embassy was attacked in Lebanon. So I do not think at all that it is the work of some kind of political intelligence service. However, it bears all the hallmark of Al-Qaeda, insofar as Al-Qaeda is a kind of organization that would kill for the sake of killing, for the sake of revenge, and not for the sake of getting some kind of political or furthering some kind of political end. And also, it is the style of Al-Qaeda, and Al-Qaeda revendicated it. So, yes, as far as I'm concerned, it's Al-Qaeda and not Saudi Arabia. And frankly, I don't care about Israel.
Well, tell us this, Jad Mokhtari. Isn't this a signal to Iran, given the fact that it occurred near the embassy in Iran, in Lebanon, near the embassy, Iranian embassy?
I'm sorry?
This attack that took place, which an Al-Qaeda group has claimed responsibility, it occurred near the embassy, Iranian embassy in Beirut. Isn't this a message to Iran?
Yes, yes.
Okay,
yes.
And who holds...
Yes, of course, they were attacking Iran.
Who holds Iran as an enemy, a point that's common between the two entities? Namely, isn't it Israel and Saudi Arabia?
Iran has many enemies in the region ever since Iran has been supporting the war effort of President Bashar al-Assad. Iran has many enemies in the region, and not only Saudi Arabia, it could be Turkey, it could be Israel, many, many people who are opposed to Bashar al-Assad are the enemies of Iran. So Al-Qaeda is one of them, but then you have also all the Salafist organizations which are being funded by Saudi Arabia. But these people are being kept on a very tight leash. that just don't go around planting bombs all over the place. They, if when they are operating on behalf of Saudi Arabia, they do exactly what they are being told because the money is there. While as Al-Qaeda does not depend on anybody. They just operate on their own without any orders from anybody.
How do you know that, Mr. Morakada? How do you know that Al-Qaeda does not depend on anybody? Where did you get that information from? How can an organization the size and magnitude of Al-Qaeda operate without the Saudi money, without the Israeli support, the U.S. support? How can that be in this world? You know, terrorist attacks, that magnitude, they need money, they need funds. How can Al-Qaeda operate separately, and how can Al-Qaeda operate independently of those who have the money? Namely, namely Saudi Arabia, namely Qatar, namely the United Arab Emirates.
As far as I recall, Al-Qaeda has been operating since 1998. As Al-Qaeda, I'm not talking about the fight in Afghanistan against Russia. That's Bin Laden, that's something else. But in its capacity as Al-Qaeda, it has attacked the U.S. embassies in Nairobi and in Tanzania. So Al-Qaeda has been operating. It has also tried to bring down a vessel, an American vessel off the coast of Yemen, the port of Yemen, a Yemeni port. It has undertaken an attack in Al-Khobar, in the American base in Al-Khobar. So who has been funding Al-Qaeda all along?
Saudi Arabia.
Who has been funding Al-Qaeda for Al-Qaeda to operate in Saudi Arabia? The Saudis or the UAE?
Well, Saudi Arabia is funding terrorists in the region. We know that Bandar bin Sultan has time and again threatened that if Hezbollah operates in Syria, for instance, these days, the Qalamun region, they have said clearly that if Hezbollah operates in that area together with the Bashar al-Assad troops, they will take revenge on Hezbollah. And now they're doing that. They're sending a signal to Iran. They're sending a signal to Hezbollah that you guys will have to stop helping Syria defeating the insurgents, the terrorists that have made the country like no other period in the history of a civilization once called Syria. So what I'm trying to say is that Saudi Arabia and Israel, they are trying to create tensions in the region. They live on crises. Saudi Arabia lives on crises. Israel lives on crises. And they are creating tension in Lebanon. They are creating tension in Iraq. They are creating tension in Syria. And it is very much clear. And you see, there is no reason why, you know, they're in a Muslim country like Lebanon, there is a terrorist attack. And everyone believes that it was a terrorist attack. But Saudi Arabia does not condemn this terrorist attack in Lebanon. What message does that send to the people of Lebanon? That Saudi Arabia, Prince Bandar bin Sultan, the spy chief of Saudi Arabia, has threatened to attack Hezbollah forces. And now Hezbollah forces have been threatened, have been attacked. Iran has been attacked inside Lebanon. That's clear sign of Prince Bandar bin Sultan, a war criminal called Prince Bandar bin Sultan, otherwise called Prince Bandar bin George Bush. He's operating in Lebanon, sending a message. Because Israel and Saudi Arabia are losing the ground inside Syria, the government of Bashar al-Assad is defeating them. It's just 2 and 2 makes 4.
John Mercado.
Are you really trying to tell me that by attacking the Iranian embassy and by planting a few car bombs in the Beirut suburbs, in the Dahi, where Hezbollah is, it is going to change the mind of the Hezbollah people?
No,
or is
it's not
going to
change
the mind of the Iranian...
No, it's not going to change
anything. Exactly, and I know that.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Exactly. And so why would they do it?
Well, if they kill people in Iraq, suicide bombers in Iraq kill people, civilians, what message does that send? Is that going to change the mind of Iranians? No, of course it's not.
In Iraq, it's a totally different story. Please, let's not mix the two. Here we are talking about Syria and the involvement of Iran and Hezbollah in Syria.
But it's the same tactics.
And I do not think that any bomb or any car bomb is going to change anything in the resolve of Hezbollah or in the support of its people.
Well, let me ask you this, Jihad Markare. You recently approved of the fact that Saudi Arabia has earmarked $300 million to finance the so-called transitional government for Syria, didn't you? Which at the same timeline, Saudi Arabia also forged a new alliance of insurgents under a pro-Saudi warlord to supersede the Western-backed Free Syrian Army. Why would you see that as a positive development?
You had asked me at the time with regards to the new national, the new unity government that was being formed, and the fact that Saudi Arabia has earmarked $300 million to support this government. You know very well that my position is totally supportive of the anti-regime people in Syria. And so in this regard, I regard any support for all these people who are fighting the Syrian regime as a positive development with facing a Syrian regime which is absolutely ruthless in its action against its own people, and who has demonstrated its ruthlessness from day one. During the first 6 months, the whole demonstration was peaceful, and the Syrian army was shooting at unarmed civilians.
Okay. The second part of my question was, therefore, then, do you support the fact that Saudi Arabia has forged a new alliance of insurgents? I believe it's 50 different groups under one warlord to supersede the Western-backed Free Syrian Army. Do you support that?
I would remind you that my answer at the time was very specific. I said, when there is a revolution, you are going to have a number of different factions fighting under different flags. And I mentioned the French Revolution, and you had people who were killing people. You had Robespierre, for example. And then came Napoleon Bonaparte.
I'll come around and ask you again. Which do you kind support, of if you support Saudi Arabia, do you support groups that Saudi Arabia are supporting on the ground in Syria? Do you support those groups that Saudi Arabia supports financially and through weapons?
Of course I do. I support anything that is going to fight the Syrian regime.
Well, you're rough. Supporting the
now,
terrorists, Mr. Markare.
If you consider, if you are going to say...
Hamid Razanbadi, go ahead.
Mr. Markare, the fact of the matter is that the Syrian government has made a lot of mistakes. It's killed a lot of innocent civilians. It's an open secret. Everyone knows about it. And there is not even one country on planet Earth that has not violated human rights. But does that justify foreign insurgents to enter the country and kill ordinary civilians? People have got nothing to do with the politics of the country. People have got nothing to do with the Assad regime. They just kill civilians. They just kill people. You know, Human Rights Watch, just a few hours ago, they said that the insurgents have killed a lot of Christian villagers
me,
in Syria.
Hamadi.
So why would they kill Christian villagers?
But Mr. Hamadi, I don't care that Christian Muslim. That's not the point.
No, it's
when
the
you
point
are
is
bombing
that,
people
the point
from
is
the sky.
Has never,
what
Al-Qaeda,
are you doing?
Al Qaeda has never attacked Israel. Al Qaeda kills Muslims.
The Syrian regime is doing much worse, and you in Iran are supporting it.
No, listen. Listen, we're not supporting...
When the Syrian regime is using airplanes and tanks and
battlefield
weapons
to
fight against civilians...
It's about Iran's support of peace and stability in the region.
And then you worry about a couple of terrorists?
And those terrorists that you are supporting, Mr. Markare, they are killing ordinary people. They're killing women and children. So it is...
But what is the Syrian government doing?
You can't support terrorists.
What is the Syrian government doing?
The Syrian government has made a lot of mistakes, as I made it very much clear earlier, but that doesn't justify foreign insurgents.
It's not a mistake.
Natural
using chemical
to go
using
into the
chemical weapon
and
is not a mistake.
Civilians. It doesn't justify that. You can't just because a government makes
using
mistakes,
aircraft
you can't send terrorists
to bomb
to that
civilians
and kill
all that a
people.
Mistake.
It's not possible. You know, it's not. It's not for today. It's a thing of the past. You know, we're
But the Syrian government is doing just that.
The Syrian government, it's a government.
They're using tanks. They're using helicopters.
Let the Syrian people make a decision for their own lives and for their own government. The Syrian people will have to be allowed
to make a decision.
Who kill ordinary people, who kill Christians, Muslims alive.
How do you go about doing that?
Those people are not gonna get anywhere. They're just making the situation more complex, more complicated.
How do you go about having the Syrian people decide?
Well, it is. There are many, many ways of doing that. You can launch a political campaign and you can talk to the government, but if you send insurgents into the country, and let me tell you something: is Saudi Arabia a democratic country? Just answer this question.
Mr. Imani, have you been to Syria?
Listen, Mr. Morakada, just answer this very, very simple question: is Saudi Arabia a democracy?
I don't care. I'm not fighting for Saudi Arabia. I'm fighting Syria. Listen.
If Saudi Arabia is not a democracy, that you believe that Saudi Arabia is not a democracy, not like all other 7 billion people on the planet Earth, everyone believes Saudi Arabia is not.
What is the point?
Does that justify another country to send insurgents into Saudi Arabia and try to kill ordinary people?
Why Syria is a democracy?
What is it? Say that again, please.
Jad Markade, Hamid Rezamadi, Jad Markade asks you, is Syria a democracy? Go ahead, Hamid Rezamadi.
Listen, Syria is not a democracy, but that doesn't mean that Syria has to be invaded by foreign forces. Saudi Arabia is not a democracy. Saudi Arabia is the world's worst dictatorship. Saudi Arabia is the world's worst dictatorship, but that doesn't justify.
Saudi Arabia
is not
the issue.
Anybody wants to send troops into Saudi Arabia to kill ordinary people, to topple the government of Saudi Arabia, it doesn't make any sense. It's the 21st century. We are civilized people. We're not supposed to kill each other. We're not supposed to support the terrorists. Just imagine one day the same thing happens to Beirut, to Lebanon.
If you are civilized, how can you look at me with a straight face and support a regime who kills his own people with bare hands, who are totally unarmed, bombs them from the skies, uses all his army and all his weapons against people who do not have
any
weapons?
What about Israel, Mr. Morakada? What about Israel? Why don't you speak out against Israel?
And you are supporting that?
If you are an advocate of human rights,
I don't care about Israel. I'm talking about Syria.
Why don't you speak out against Israel? Why don't you speak about Qatar?
My problem is Syria. Israel is bad. Saudi is bad. Everybody is bad.
Why don't you speak out against Saudi Arabia, which is the world's worst dictatorship? Why don't you speak out against Prince Bandar Ben Sultan, which is a spy chief
of Saudi Arabia, shoot at people in the streets?
The fact that you are focusing on Syria is politically driven. You just want to focus on Syria because it's your political agenda to focus on Syria. But the fact of the matter is that Syria is not a democracy.
No, it is the point of the debate right now.
Saudi Arabia is a dictatorship.
I do apologize. I wish we had more time, but thank you very much. Let me thank our guests, Press TV Newsroom Director Hamid Rezamadi, speaking to us here in the studios, and Jad Markade. Thank you, Middle East expert, talking to us there from Beirut. Thank you for watching another edition of The Debate. For me, Kovat Tabway, and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.